We're concluding today our little series on In God We Trust. Can you say that with me? In God We Trust. All right? Today we're going to learn a little bit more about our country. And in case you're here for the first time, this isn't something I do all the time. But you know what? Yeah, when July 4th rolls around every year, you can count on it. There's going to be a couple of three messages out of me on God and America. Amen? Because we have forgotten where we came from and many of us and how God establish this nation, use mighty men of God to do it. So we're back. We're going to be talking about it today. Amen? Today is Independence Day. Can you say that with me? Today is Independence Day. I was not going to let Independence Day pass by without talking about Independence Day. Amen? So that's basically the title of the message today, Independence Day. The Declaration of Independence. If you'd like some further study information on this, I have several messages in the In God We Trust series on your first three presidents of the United States. That's a series. Also, we have a series, Is America a Christian Nation? We look at the constitutions of every state in one message. We also look at the Declaration of Independence in detail. So if you want to get those messages, they're available out there today. Another one I recommend to you is the Ten Commandments. Learn the Ten Commandments. They didn't post them and put them in schools and all over the place for no reason. The greatest family values you'll ever learn in your whole life, the Ten Commandments. So we have that out there today, and everything, they're already at cost or below cost, but today, it's Independence Day, we'll do it for half of whatever it says, and if you can't afford it, take it for free. Amen? All right? So get some of this stuff today, and it's full outside, so we'd love for you to have it. New message in this series, In God We Trust. We put it together this week, Independence Day. I learned in my office this week, oh yeah, I love it. I'm there going, wow, this is incredible. I got to share it. So here we go. Independence Day. Y'all with me? Y'all all right? You awake? You ready to go? Everything else is put aside now. We ain't thinking about nothing else, right? Good. All right, here we go. The Declaration of Independence was an action taken by the Second Continental Congress on July 4th, 1776. Exactly. Say it with me. 234 years ago today. Come on. There they are. It was a unanimous declaration of the 13 states of America to be what? Independent. I want you to know this stuff because if you're like me, you grew up your whole life or you don't, nobody tells you, or you don't take the effort to go and look. I want to help you with that today. Let's read the opening of the Declaration of Independence. I'm going to put it up on the screen so you can see it. Here we go. When in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and nature's what? God entitled them. A decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their what? Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Keep looking. There were 56 signers. Can you say that with me? There were 56 signers of the Declaration of Independence. They believed and stated the following. Here's what they believed. If you read the Declaration of Independence, it's obvious. The first thing, we desire freedom. And it's natural for us to want our freedom. That's what's in their heart. That's what drove them to do what they did with the Declaration of Independence. Secondly, God put this desire inside of us. Every one of you have it inside of you. A longing to be free. That moved them to number three. It's obvious to everyone. We all want to be free. Who wants to be a slave? Raise your hand. None of us want to be that. We want to be free. And I love this line. Say it with me. Freedom is in our DNA. Say it again. Freedom is in our DNA. I believe every man and woman on the planet has it inside of them, a longing to be free. And thank God for 56 men who they just talk about it. They did something about it. Amen? Come on. Let's keep looking. So these 56 signers of the Declaration of Independence, say that word with me, rejected, can you do it again? Rejected the tyranny of the King of Great Britain over the 13 United States. What is the Declaration of Independence all about? Here's what it's all about. We reject, Mr. King of Great Britain, your tyranny over these 13 states anymore. Y'all got it? Say, maybe you didn't know what the Declaration of Independence was. That's what it is. We reject your tyranny over these 13 states. That's over. It's done. Okay? And with this document, we're putting it down in plain English for you and the whole world to see. You think that was going to go over real good? Say, Make no mistake about it. We're rolling, Raj. This is what the Declaration of the Independence is all about. Rejection of tyranny. If you'll read, we're not going to do it today. Get the other message. Read the middle part. The most of the Declaration of Independence lays out in point by point step reasons against the tyranny of Great Britain, why they're doing what they're doing. It's incredible. You ought to read it. It's wonderful what they said. Now let's read the closing of the Declaration of Independence and we're moving forward. The very end of the Declaration of Independence. We therefore, the representatives of the United States of America in General Congress, assembled, appealing to, help me, the Supreme Judge of the, for the rectitude of our intentions, do in the name and by the authority of the good people of these colonies solemnly publish and declare that these United Colonies are and of right ought to be free and independent states, that they are absolved from all allegiance to the British Crown, and that all political connection between them and the state of Great Britain is and ought to be, say it with me, totally, it's over, baby. And that as free and independent states, they have full power to levy war, conclude peace, contract alliances, establish commerce, and to do all other acts and things which independent states may of right do. And for the support of this declaration, with a firm, help me, reliance on the protection of divine providence. Help me on this last part. We mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred... Are y'all going to sleep on me yet? Good. This is why you have the house you have, you live where you live, you drive the roads that you drive on, you get to come to church where you go, you get to eat what you eat, you get to have some money. Did you know it was all right? Hey, say. Amen? Come on. Say this last part with me again. We mutually pledge to each other, 56 men, our lives, our fortunes, our sacred... Wow. These were some serious men. Hey, I love men that are men. That's what I love. That's me. That's my DNA. I can talk with men all day. You want to talk sports, man? Come on, let's do it. We can do it. I love it. Never been a big hunter. Hey, but I like hearing about that stuff too. Amen? Somebody with passion, commitment, men. People stand up for their country. That's why I have zero problem supporting the military. Because they're what? Men. I know there's women, I respect them as well. But no problem. I love people that stand for something and are willing to put it on the line. Amen? Y'all listening to me? It's who I am. That's no problem. I didn't have to stretch any to just say what I just said. Piece of cake. Amen? Let's move the message forward. I want you to look at these signatures. Look at them. The signers of the Declaration of Independence. That's what we're talking about today, Independence Day. Who were these 56 men? You ever thought about it? Who are they? What did they put on the line? What were they thinking? What happened to them? Who were these 56 men who signed the Declaration of Independence? And what happened to them? Let's keep looking. Here we go, Raj. Here we go. Who were these men? Almost half were lawyers and jurists. Almost half of the 56? 11 were merchants. 9 were farmers and plantation owners. Almost all of them, say this part with me, were men of means and education. What does that mean? This means they were not stupid men. They didn't go into what they signed that day without fully being aware of what might happen to them. They were smart. Life was good for them for the most part. They didn't have to do what they did. They were men, strong men. They knew full well what they were signing. They knew what their fate would be if they were what? Captured. Are you kidding? I mean, they didn't just write a letter and it was all okay. Uh-uh. That's not how you got your freedom. How I got my freedom. Why does America make such a big deal out of July 4th? You ought to make a big deal out of July 4th. This is huge. We're free because of what these men did. And we're going to see something about them today. The signers. We do know what happened to some of these men. Let's look at a few of them. 5 signers were captured. Of the 56, 5 were captured, tortured, and imprisoned. Can you say that with me? 5 were captured, tortured, and so you could be here today. Aren't you grateful? 12 had their homes ransacked and burned. 2 lost their sons serving in the Revolutionary Army. 56 men. Another had 2 sons captured by the British. 9 of the 56 died during the course of the Revolutionary War. Wow. Well, they put it on the line, didn't they? You think they had to do this? I mean, it sounded like they were pretty educated. They were lawyers. They were jurists. They had means. They had education. But something mattered more, freedom. Let's look specifically at a few of them. Carter Braxton of Virginia was a wealthy planter and trader. He saw his ship swept from the seas by the British Navy. He sold his home and properties to pay his debts. He died with almost everything what? Lost. For you and me. Thomas McKeon was so hounded by the British that he was forced to move his family constantly. He served in the Congress without pay. I definitely agree with some of that right there. For some of them. I'm telling you that right now. And his family was kept in constant what? Hiding. I mean, I don't know if you really appreciate what you have. You're probably like me and you just never took the time to see it. Vandals or soldiers looted the properties of Ellery, Hall, Clymer, Walton, Gwinnett, Hayward, Rutledge, and Middleton. Sounds like almost all of them suffered, didn't it? Is that what I'm hearing? Say. The signers, these 56 what? Men. Thomas Nelson Jr. noted that the British General Cornwallis had taken over a Nelson family home for his headquarters. Nelson is rumored to have urged the artillery firing upon his own family's home. Can you imagine such a thing? The enemy's inside your house. House you love. House you built. But guess what? Shoot them! Knowing your own house is going to be destroyed. I thought this all just happened. Uh-uh. Francis Lewis had his home and properties destroyed. His seriously ill wife was taken prisoner by the British, and she died following a prisoner exchange. John Hart and his family were driven from their home and forced into hiding in forest and caves. He served 2 more terms in Congress, but the kidney damage he incurred from hiding took his life in 1779. It's one thing, I guess, to live outside in the forest if you like camping or something. Or in a cave. Can you imagine having means and everything and you put your life on the line and you lose everything and now where do you live? In the forest and in the caves so that we could have this great country. Amen? Boy, when I hear stuff like this, it ticks me off that people put down America. You hear me? Say. Or think it all just happened or see so much of what our freedoms were based on being eroded. It's troubling. Lewis, Morris, and Philip Livingston suffered similar fates, having their homes, property, and livestock taken by the British. Livingston died suddenly in 1778 before the war ended. The signers, 56 men. They were educated men of means. Why don't you say this with me? They were educated men of means. Would you say this with me? They had what?
Say it again. They had, but guess what? Say it with me. But they valued liberty. What? They had security. Reminds me of some of us today. Oh, I don't want to ruffle feathers. I don't want to say nothing. You know, I don't want, I mean, what's up? It's in our DNA, church, to be Christians, to be godly. But some of us need to get with the program. Being a Christian doesn't mean you don't stand up for your freedoms here in America. Being a Christian doesn't mean, oh, I just got to be docile and never say, oh, have you lost your mind? That's not your DNA. That's not where this, what this country was founded on. Disagreeing? Fine. Tick me off. I said it last week. Our president goes to foreign soil and says we're not a Christian nation. Tick me off. That's crazy. A lot smarter than me. Read. Amen? Say. You know, I mean, I better hush. I love this. 56 who? One more time. 56. Do you think we could find 56 today that would do such a thing? 56 men. Standing tall, straight, unwavering, pledged, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, our sacred honor. Wow. 56 men. That's what happened 234 years ago today. Can we just give God a hand? Amen. Come on. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Telling you what, a lot of these fellows, these men that did that, they're with him right now. They were men of God. But you don't hear that. They're men of God. I want to show some of that to you this morning. Keep looking. There it is, the Declaration of Independence. Let's look at the actual signatures of the 56 men who signed the Declaration of Independence. I need you to look with me now. Here we go. 56 men signed this. Signing this was like signing your own death warrant. Do y'all understand that or not? Signing this meant I'm signing away my wife, my children, my fortune, if I sign this. I think we ought to look at their signatures. It matters, doesn't it say? You can talk is cheap. Look at them. Look at their names. Let's meet a few of these guys right there that took time to do this for us. Now here's the big question. Help me now. Who do you think was the first signer of the Declaration of Independence? Shout it out. Now, do you think it was John Hancock because you're just really smart, or you're saying that because of what you're looking at? Because you're what? You're looking at it. You ain't that smart, are you? Can I take a quick poll? Be honest. Don't lie. Here we go. How many honestly knew, because you know the history of the Declaration of Independence, you know that John Hancock is the first one to sign the Declaration of Independence? You know it flat out, period. You knew it before you came in the house today. Can I see your hand? We got us a pretty good church, don't we? Come on. Look at that. Yeah. So can I get your what? Yo, John Hancock, please. That's what we say today, don't we sometimes? Can I get you to give me your John what? That's where it comes from. Because look at him. Look at old John right there. Look at his signature. There it is. Look at it. Boy, boy, boy. Let me go first. Amen? He didn't fool around, did he say? I mean, he knew what he was signing. A death warrant. He knew he was pledging his lives, his fortune, his sacred honor. Hey, no reason to scribble it. Let's make it look good. I mean, look, that is some fancy signature right there, ain't it? Come on. John Hancock. Let's meet him for a minute. Not long. Go look at a few of these guys real quick. John Hancock was the first signer of the Declaration of Independence. Now you know something, don't you? Amen? Here's what he said. He said a lot. Can't put it all up there. Resistance to tyranny becomes the Christian and social duty of each individual. Continue steadfast and with a proper sense of your dependence on God. Nobly defend those rights which heaven gave and no man ought to take from us. Wow. I like your signature better now. Don't you? Let's meet another one. Come on. Let's look at another signature. Benjamin Franklin. What did Benjamin Franklin have to say? He said a lot, but let's
He was a sign of the Declaration of Independence. He's also a sign of the United States Constitution. Here's what Benjamin Franklin said. Here is my creed. I believe, would you help me, in what? One God. Did he believe in evolution? Uh-uh. The what? Creator of the... That he governs it by his providence? That he ought to be what? Wow, you mean what I'm doing here lines up with what y'all folk believe way back then? Oh, yeah. That's what I think one of the best things you can do to show that you love your country, go to church where the Word of God is taught, whether it's Fellowship Church or some other church. Kick yourself in the tail if you have to every Sunday. Get there. One of the best things you can do. Okay? He ought to be worshipped. That's what Benjamin Franklin said. Let's keep looking. Look at another one. We're not going to do this all day, but I've got about eight of them. John Adams did a whole series, a message on John Adams. John Adams was the second U.S. president. He signed the Declaration of Independence. What did John Adams say? The general principles on which the fathers achieved independence were the general principles of... But we're not a Christian nation. How can you say we're not a Christian nation when the general principles on which the fathers achieved the independence that we have is Christian? Does that make sense? Yes or no? I will avow that I then believed and now believe that those general principles of Christianity are as eternal and immutable as the existence and attributes of God. Regarding July 4th celebrations, he really thinks you should be there tonight. Here we go. The second day of July 1776, he was writing to his wife Abigail. He said, it'll be the most memorable epoch in the history of America. I'm apt to believe that it will be celebrated by succeeding generations as the great anniversary festival. It ought to be commemorated as the day of deliverance by solemn acts of devotion to God Almighty. I believe we're having a solemn act of devotion to God today at church, aren't we? Adam said, man, you ought to do that on the 4th. It's incredible. It ought to be solemnized with pomp and parade, with shows, games, sports, guns, bells, bonfires, illuminations from one end of this continent to the other. Forward, from this time forward and forever. Amen. Come on, praise the Lord. Yeah. You make a big deal out of the 4th, Clark. I think he told me to, didn't he? Come on. So come on tonight. Let's have a good time. Instead of getting ticked off maybe when you hear a firecracker now, he the one said do it. Didn't he? Say, come on, do it safely. Here we go. Thomas Jefferson. You know, we've been told last many years this guy didn't believe in God. We did a whole message on Thomas Jefferson, nothing but him talking. You can't believe how much he believed in God. Okay? Thomas Jefferson was the third U.S. president, drafter, and signer of the Declaration of Independence. What do you have to say to us? God, I thought you didn't believe in him. God, who gave us what? Gave us liberty. Now listen carefully. And can the liberties of a nation be thought secure when we have removed their only firm basis, a conviction in the minds of the people that these liberties are the gifts of God? That they are not to be violated, but with his wrath? Indeed, I tremble for my country when I reflect that God is just and that his justice cannot sleep forever. But yeah, I guess you do believe in God. Amen? Come on. Here we go. I like this one. This is Samuel Adams, but look how he signed it. Sam. I like that. Don't you like that? Come on. I like that. Not Samuel. No. Sam. Just call me Sam. I like that. Come on. Pop him up. Samuel Adams is the signer of the Declaration of Independence. You see it right there. Here's what he said. And as it is our duty to extend our wishes to the happiness of the great family of man, I conceive that we cannot better express ourselves than by humbly supplicating the supreme ruler of the world that the rod of tyrants may be broken to pieces and the oppressed made free again. Amen? He believed in an almighty, powerful God.
Sam did, that wars may cease in all the earth, that the confusions that are and have been among nations may be overruled by promoting and speedily bringing on that holy and happy period when the kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ may be established everywhere and all people everywhere willingly bow to the scepter of Him who is Prince of... Yeah, old Sam. Old Sam had it down, didn't he? But I thought, we're not a Christian. I mean, come on. Are you kidding me? You don't just come up with that stuff unless it's pretty much in you and you have a pretty good handle on the Bible. Amen? Keep looking. Benjamin Rush. A few names you might not be familiar with as much. Let's see what he said. Benjamin Rush, he's a signer of the Declaration of Independence, and he was also a ratifier of the U.S. Constitution. There's his fancy signature. The gospel of Jesus Christ prescribes the wisest rules for just conduct in every situation of life. What's he saying? Regardless of your situation in life, the wisest thing, the best thing you can ever do is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Is that what he just said? I think he just said it. Happy are they who are enabled to obey them in all what? You know, plain English, what he says. Hey, if it says it in the Bible, do it. You can trust it, you can believe it, you can take it to the bank. Amen? Christianity is the only true and perfect religion. I wish more of us would say that. Can we just practice? Christianity is the only true and perfect religion. Can we do that again without feeling you've got to be PC here? Look, one more time. Christianity is the only true and perfect. Now, there's a lot of religions. That's fine. Have at it. But the only true and perfect religion is Christianity, which you see in the Word of God. Amen? Well, you can't say that. If a man who could pledge his lives, his fortunes, his sacred honor could say that and sign his name, why can't I say that? Why ain't I man enough to say that? Say. See, these were men. They left our tail in the dust. Keep looking. Christianity is the only true and perfect religion, and that in proportion as mankind adopts its principles and obeys its precepts, they will be wise and what? You want to be happy? Follow the only true and perfect way, Jesus. You'll be happy. You'll be wise. I know there's objection among many people to teach children doctrines of any kind because they're liable to be controverted. But let us not be wiser than our what? Sure, you ought to guard your children. You ought to guard what your children are taught, what they're learning. Sure. But don't ever think you need to guard them from the Word of God. Don't think you're smarter than your Maker. Amen? Good stuff. This guy just keeps going. If moral precepts alone could have reformed mankind, the mission of the Son of God and all the world would have been unnecessary. The perfect morality of the gospel rests upon the doctrine which, though often controverted, has never been refuted. I mean the vicarious life and death of the Son of God. Wow! Go, Benjamin! I mean, I'm finding out these guys, they had a real faith in Jesus. They were saved. It's incredible. We're nuts to even think something could have been pulled off like this without people like that doing it. Amen? That's where you came from. Let's look at another one. I think we got two more, maybe, Raj. John Witherspoon. Look at him. Let's look at him again. Hey, Johnny. Look at him. He's a distinguished fellow, isn't he? Look at him. Here we go. What'd you say? He was a sign of the Declaration of Independence? Clergyman. I thought he looked like a preacher. President of Princeton University. What could he have good to say? While we give praise to God, the supreme disposer of all events, for His interposition on our behalf, let us guard against the dangerous error of trusting in or boasting of an arm of flesh. If your cause is just, if your principles are pure, and if your conduct is prudent, you need not fear the multitude of oppressing or of opposing hosts. I love this quote by John. Whoever is an avowed enemy of God
I scruple to call him an enemy of his country.
Wow, now if you say, yeah, come on. Can you imagine somebody getting on the Senate floor today and saying, because you don't believe in God, because your conduct is contrary to the ways of God, I call you an enemy of our country. Oh my gosh. He'd be jailed tonight. Certainly be kicked out of office. Right? It's where you came from. In God we trust. It's our national motto. It's on our coins. It's on our bills. It's what we say we believe. I'm going to close with this guy right here. We're going to actually get out of here at a decent time. But don't think this guy didn't have something to say. So don't run yet. I thought I'd let Roger Sherman preach today. He signed. Look at him. There he is. Roger Sherman. Signer of the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution. Listen to him today. Don't listen to me. You listen to him. Here we go. Roger Sherman. I believe that there's only one, only living and true God, existing in three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, the same in substance, equal in power and glory, that the Scriptures of the Old and New Testament are a revelation from God and a complete rule to direct us on how we may glorify and enjoy Him. That God is foreordained whatsoever comes to pass, so as thereby He is not the author and approver of sin. He creates all things and preserves and governs all creatures and all their actions in a manner perfectly consistent with the freedom of will and moral agents and the usefulness of means. That He made man at first perfectly holy. That the first man did what? Sin. And he was the public head of his posterity. They all became sinners in consequence of his first transgression, are wholly indisposed to that which is good and inclined to evil, and on account of sin are liable to all the miseries of this life, to death, and to the pains of hell forever. These guys didn't believe the Bible. Are you kidding me? The guy's like quoting the Bible. He's got such a good handle on it. I'm not done. Keep listening. I believe that God, he was definitely a predestinationist, a Calvinist. I believe that God, having elected some of mankind to eternal life, did send his own Son to become man. Die, I love this phrase, die in the room instead of sinners. Can you say that with me? Die in the room instead of, one more time, Jesus died in your room. Come on. Died in the room instead of sinners. I love that. He died in my room. For me, I just love that statement. And thus to lay a foundation for the offer of pardon and salvation to all mankind, so all may be saved who are willing to accept the gospel offer. Also by His special grace and Spirit to regenerate, sanctify, and enable to persevere in holiness, and all who shall be saved, and to procure in consequence of their repentance and faith in Himself, the justification by virtue of His atonement as the only meritorious cause. Is this guy straight as an arrow or what? I believe the visible church, that's us, to be a congregation of those who make a credible profession of their faith in Christ and obedience to Him, joined by the bond of the covenant. You know what he thought? He thought you ought to have a credible testimony. He thought you ought to have a credible profession of your faith. It ought not be, I'm just playing church, game playing. He believed you really ought to be saved and know Jesus Christ. If you're part of the church, do you know you're saved? Do you know you're a Christian? He believed you ought to know that. So do I. So does the Word. I believe that the souls of believers are at their death, made perfectly holy and immediately taken to glory. That at the end of this world, there will be a resurrection of the dead and a final judgment of all mankind, when the righteous shall be publicly acquitted by Christ the Judge and admitted to everlasting life and glory, and the wicked be sentenced to everlasting punishment. Is that a sermon or what? Did y'all hear? I mean, maybe that bored some of you. I don't know. I think it ought to help you to know what your founders believed. Not just your founders. These are the signers of the Declaration of Independence. This is why your tail can sit in a seat today. Independence Day. It's all right.
Amen.
That's like an exclamation point.
You know what I'm saying? I like that. Amen.
Hey, we're going to stay in here. We're fine. It happens. I'd like to close the message. I've got it, Raj, in my mind. You don't even have to put it up there. Here we go. Independence Day. The Declaration of Independence. They believed. It was obvious to everyone that freedom was something they should do and that we should all have. It was obvious. They believed that freedom was in their DNA. Okay? It was something God put inside of every man, a longing to be free. And I'd like to close the message this morning with just this thought. Today is Independence Day. But I'd like to close with this thought. Today also needs to be Dependence Day. Dependence Day. I agree with the signers that I believe inside of every man is a longing for freedom. But I believe also inside of every man is a longing for spiritual freedom. I believe you have to work real hard at being an atheist. I really do. And as technology keeps moving on further and further down the road here, you're having to do more work. Things like DNA, the retina and the eye. I mean, all these kind of things that we're starting to see that we're fearfully and wonderfully made. As the Hubble telescope looks further and further, oh my gosh, I guess it just didn't blow up. Oh my God, you know what I'm saying? You have to work at being an atheist because I believe inside of every man is a longing for spiritual freedom. There's something inside of you. If you're here today, if you're not a Christian, there's something inside of you that says there is a God. Tell me, how can you live in Southwest Florida and watch that sunset painted on that sky? How can you look at that and go, if you know you're going, that's incredible. Go to the ocean. How does it, look at that, man. Look at all the uproar, and there should be because of the oil spill. Because look, it's so beautiful. Look what you did, God. And the whales and the dolphin. You know what I'm saying? Starfish. Right now, if you go to the beach, there's sand dollars all out there when you're swimming. Wow, where'd they come from? There's something inside of us that says there's a God. Y'all hearing me? When trouble comes, whether you're a Christian or not, there's something inside of you when hard times come that says, I need to pray. I don't know how to pray. But if you're up there, if you're out there, if you're somewhere, will you hear me? Isn't that the truth? Yes or no? I'm telling you, today should be Dependence Day. If you're not a believer in Christ, let me tell you what Jesus said. He said, if the truth shall set you free, you shall be free. What? Indeed. Okay. Jesus said, I am the way, the life, and the what? Truth. No man comes to the Father except by me. The Bible tells us this, he that has the Son has life. And he that has not the Son of God has not life. He goes on to say this, these things have I written unto you that believe on the Son of God, that you might know that you have eternal life. It's God's will for your life, for you to know that God is real and that He loves you. There's only one thing that's going to fill that void in your life. Okay, now you can fight it. Keep fighting if you want to, but it's going to be harder. You just keep working at it, and it's going to be harder and harder for you to fight it. It's either fight that or to say to God, I accept your Son. I accept the way I am. I'm a sinner. I can't work my way to heaven. That's who I am. And I put my dependence on you, God. You worked the plan out. You gave your Son for me. And I choose, instead of to be independent in myself, I choose to be dependent on you and what you did. Y'all listening? I believe inside of every one of us. And you're in a room. Today, maybe perhaps if you died, you don't know you're a Christian. You might not have nailed that. You're in a room full of people today just like you, who have come to a place in their own personal life where they said, and I said, I was 16, my mother was a drunk 45 years old when she said it, I can't make it. I can't do it on my own. I need you, God. I'm going to turn my life toward you, and I'm going to put my faith in you, Jesus. Amen? So you're in a room like that. So you're in a good position today to be able to receive Jesus Christ. Y'all listening? Amen? Well, thank you. So we are free. Today's Independence Day, but it's also Dependence Day. There's something inside of every one of us that says, I need spiritual freedom. That can only come through Jesus Christ, the only true and perfect religion. Did you hear the guy say? Amen. Let's praise the Lord for his word. Amen. Come on. Thank you, Lord.